Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank God for His amazing grace. And I don't believe that there is an account of someone's life in the book of Hebrews that describes God's amazing grace more than the life of Rahab in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. If you'll please turn with me there. Let's read just one verse this morning and commit this time in God's word to prayer. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 31 says this: "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Let's pray. Lord, your grace is indeed amazing. And Father, our feeble minds and our hearts cannot comprehend the length and the breadth and the depth of your love. Lord, we thank you that as we spend time in your word, the Spirit of God enlarges our heart to better comprehend the greatness of your love, to better comprehend the greatness of your holiness, And in spite of the judgment we deserve, the greatness of your grace in granting us forgiveness and bringing us, Lord, into your arms forevermore. Lord, we thank you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, help us to rejoice in this truth even more so this morning. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that needs to receive Christ as their Saviour once and for all, I pray, Lord, that this would be the day of their salvation. Lord, thank you that your grace still continues to be poured upon a world in need of a Saviour. Lord, may we be a people that rejoice in thee this morning and continue, Lord, to enlarge our hearts and enlarge our faith as we study your word this morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning with a little story about a rough sort of a bloke who collected all sorts of garbage around himself and around his yard. Maybe you know someone like that. Maybe you are like that yourself. You know, someone who just likes to collect trash. Maybe used cars or broken down lawnmowers might be in your yard or in your house. Well, this particular fella liked to collect garbage. He never really fixed anything. He just liked to collect it. And one day, he was walking past an antique store, and his eye suddenly caught the beauty of a beautiful antique vase in the window. Now, this was not like this fella to be attracted to something like this, but it caught his eye, and he was so keen to purchase that vase, he saved up everything he could and bought it and took it home and put it on his mantelpiece. And when he did, suddenly he realized some things had to change. You see, that vase was suddenly out of place. It became a kind of judgment on the garbage that was around it. You see, suddenly he realized, well, in order for that vase to fit in, some things are going to have to change. You know, the grubby-looking curtains with the cigarette stains in them and the holes in them had to go. Suddenly he realized that he had to clean up the room to make it worthy of that vase. The old chair, you know, with the stuffing coming out of the cushion that had never been fixed, that chair had to go. Maybe some of you have a chair like that at home. Amen. The curtains had to go. The wallpaper and the paint needed to be changed. And what took place gradually, as you can imagine with me, gradually, slowly over time, the entire room was transformed to conform to the beauty of that one precious object. Now, I share that little story simply to express the reality of what happens in a Christian's life when we put the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne of our hearts. You see, the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Bible says, does it not, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become and becoming new. And God delights to show us in His Word, time and time again, the power of His miraculous work in the life of a sinner who turns to Him for salvation, and the miraculous work He does in that person's life to change them forever. And when we come to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, we see one such glowing example. The Bible says in verse 31, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." Now Rahab is very unique in this chapter. For one reason, we see that she's the last person described in detail in chapter 11. From then onwards, a few names are mentioned, but she is the last person of faith described. But notice also with me in verse 31, look there with me together, please. She's the only person in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, that is described with a noun, a word of description added to her name. Notice verse number 4 in Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. The Bible says, "By faith, Abel." Notice verse 7, "By faith, Noah." Notice verse 8, "By faith, Abraham." Notice verse 11, which we looked at last time, "Through faith also, Sarah herself." But when we come to verse 31, look there with me. "By faith," what does the Bible say? "The harlot, Rahab." So as we come to verse 31, we see this horrible word, harlot, used to describe this woman. You see, Rahab was a harlot, the Bible says. She was a woman that before she believed in the Lord, before she was saved, lived a wicked lifestyle. She was a woman that sold her body to men for money. Hers was a depraved and wicked life. But as we come to verse number 31, God has put Rahab in here for a reason. And you and I might question, why did God say that she was a harlot? Well, you see, God wants us to see something special here this morning. Would you agree? God wants us to see more than ever before that His grace is indeed amazing. God is a God of amazing grace. And God lifts her up in the pages of Hebrews 11 and says, "Church family, look at this woman. Look at her faith. And then look at her God." You see, Rahab is a wonderful trophy of the amazing grace of God. And God has put Rahab in here for a reason. And reminded us, yes, she was a harlot. And look what I have done, God wants us to see. You see, Rahab is not just someone that you and I cannot relate to. No, she's a picture of all of us. Now, you and I, as depraved, wicked, lost sinners, can come to God as our living Savior, and He is able to transform our lives from the inside out when we trust Him for salvation. God is able to take the most wretched sinner and change them by His power and by His grace. And if you are a born-again Christian here this morning, let me encourage you to rejoice with me in God's wonderful grace. Let me encourage you to praise the Lord as we read His Word at what changes God has made in your life. And if you are not a child of God, if you don't know with 100% certainty that you have a home in heaven, if you're not sure whether your sins are forgiven and you are His child, let me encourage you to be saved today, for His amazing grace is still on offer this morning. Well, as we look at Rahab's life, God wants us to learn some lessons about faith, doesn't He? That's why He put her in here. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. What does God want us to learn? Well, first of all, notice Rahab's salvation. Rahab's salvation. For the Bible tells us in verse 31, "By faith, the harlot Rahab." Now look up here this morning. Here's a question. How on earth did a wicked woman, a harlot like Rahab, ever come to faith in the God of grace for salvation? How did that ever happen? Well, thank you for asking. That's a good question. Because the Bible says by faith, the harlot Rahab. You see, she became a believer. How did that happen? Well, in order to learn how that happened, let's go back to the Old Testament account of Rahab's life. Joshua chapter number 2. If you'll please turn with me there. We'll be looking at Hebrews and Joshua a couple of times this morning, so you might like to put a bookmark there or keep your finger in Joshua chapter number 2. Now stay with me as we look at a little background of what's taking place around Rahab's life. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." So here we find the nation of Israel about to cross into the promised land. And the first obstacle, the first trial of their faith was to conquer the city of Jericho. Jericho was a major city in the promised land. It had great defenses. Its walls were famous for being impregnable, undefeatable. And so Joshua, the captain, the leader of the nation of Israel, sent two men to spy out the city of Jericho. He sent two spies into the city to find out how strong their defenses really were. Now, we know that Jericho was under the judgment of God, don't we? Why did God seek to destroy them? Well, the Bible tells us that the people in the city of Jericho were so wicked and were so unrepentant that God had no other choice but to destroy the city. And he did destroy it. We know in Joshua chapter number 6, the children of Israel marched around the city once each day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they marched around the city 7 times. They blew their trumpets, and what miraculously happened? The walls came tumbling down. They won a wonderful victory by faith. But Rahab, she lived in that city. What happened to Rahab? What would become of Rahab? Well, remember verse 31 in Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." You see, before the city was destroyed, the spies came in. Spies found their way into the city of Jericho. And then they found their way to the house of Rahab. Now, it wasn't anything unusual for strange men to enter into the house of Rahab, because the city knew that Rahab was a wicked woman. She was a promiscuous woman. She was an immoral woman. Her trade was that of a harlot. It wasn't unusual for strange men to enter into her house. But you see, what took place in that house was unusual, because whom the spies found was not the Rahab of the past. She was a new believer. She was now a woman of faith. How do we know that? Because when the spies came to her house, what did she do? Did she turn them into the authorities as traitors and as spies of the enemy? Yes or no? No, she received them with peace. There was something different about Rahab. There was something that changed in her heart. There was something so different that caused her not only not to turn the spies over to the king of Jericho, but to receive the spies and to take care of them and to treat them lovingly and to protect them. Why would she do such a thing? How did she come to that point of faith? Well, stay with me this morning. Let's look at Exodus chapter 15. Now, we're looking at a few verses just to put the picture together. How did Rahab, a single woman in a city so far away from the nation of Israel, come to faith in the living God? That's a good question. Exodus chapter 15. Notice what God says in verses 14 and 15. Notice this prophecy after the nation of Israel were delivered from bondage. The Bible says in verse 14, "The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. You see, God was reminding His people, as I do the miraculous in your life, not only will you be humbled and reverence and fear me as God and believe in me, not only will I do the miraculous in your midst, but the enemies of God will also hear when you agree. That is what God is saying. The enemies of God who refuse to turn to God, who reject God, who worship idols, who live wickedly, they will also hear of God's miracles among His people, and they will know that God's people are coming. That's the prophecy that God gave to them. Now, 40 years later, turn back with me to Joshua chapter 2. Thank you for turning to a few verses this morning. Joshua chapter number 2 once again. 40 years later, what do we see Rahab tell the spies when they arrive? Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9. Are you still with me this morning? All right, we're just doing a little Bible study. Let's have a look at what took place. Verse number 9. And she said unto the men, the spies, I, what's the next word? Know. What did she know? That the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. Isn't that what God said? God opened the Red Sea. He dried it up. Amen. They did not walk through knee-deep, muddy, swampy water in the Reed Sea. No, He dried up the Red Sea. They walked over on dry ground with walls of water either side, and the enemies of the land of Canaan heard everything about it. Notice what the Bible says. He dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Notice her personal faith next. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now don't miss what we've learnt this morning. Rahab was a harlot. She was a wicked woman. She was a woman that lived immorally. But there came a point in her life where she heard about the living God. It was before the messengers, the spies, arrived. She heard that God's people were coming. She heard that judgment was coming. She knew that her city was under the condemnation of the living God. Why? Because she knew how everyone was living. She knew that they worshipped idols. She knew that they committed great abominations in that city. She knew that judgment was coming, and fear and the fear of God fell upon the land. But you see, Rahab went further than that, didn't she? She came to a point in her life where she made a choice. She made a choice not to just fear God, but to admit that she, as an individual, in the city of Jericho, was also a sinner. She deserved the judgment of God. She knew that judgment was coming. And there was a point in Rahab's life that she turned her heart to the living God, the God of grace for her salvation. And she repented of her sins. And she received the Lord as her personal Savior. And she was forgiven for her sins. And she was cleansed of her sins once and for all. How do we know that? Because when the spies arrive, they do not find a harlot in the house. A harlot would have treated those men in a very different way. They found someone who had been transformed. They found a woman who had been changed. God calls her a harlot because of what she was, to show us what she became. You see, Rahab was a believer in the Lord. And as she received these men, she was showing her faith by her very actions. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. With them that believe not, when she received the spies with peace. You see, the very evidence of her faith in the Lord was displayed in her actions. She treated those two spies as brethren, as family. She risked her own very life by sheltering them. But before we go on, I want you to see that Rahab heard of the judgment to come. She believed, and by the time the spies came, she was changed. She was a woman of faith. She was a believer in the living God. And what does God first of all want us to see? Brethren, God wants us to see loud and clear the wonderful grace in the salvation of Rahab. God's wonderful, amazing grace. You see, Rahab was a harlot, a wicked woman. Now, we are all sinners, but you see, her lifestyle was an outward sin. It was a sin that everyone could see. She knew what people thought of her, and she knew what she was in the sight of others. But friends, what do we see in the Word of God this morning? What does God want us to see? Brethren, God wants us to see this morning that no matter how sinful we are, no matter how wretched we are, no matter how wicked we know that we are, God is still willing and loving in His love and graciousness to pull us out of that mire of filthy sin and to cleanse us clean in the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all. You see, that is the greatness of His grace. Why did God leave that word in there? By faith, the harlot Rahab. Why did He keep that word in there? To show us the greatness of His salvation. You see, folks, this morning, God is on a mission to save. You may be here this morning and you might say, Pastor, you don't know my sins. I know what they are. I might dress up nicely this morning, but you don't know. I am too great of a sinner to be forgiven. Amen. I am condemned already. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but whom?
Sinners
to repentance. Friends, He came for us. The Lord Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross so long ago and shed His holy blood to pay for your sins and mine. On that cross, when He gave Himself for us, when He bore our sins on the tree, that was the moment that He died for the sins of all humanity, for the small and the great, for the rich and the poor, for every sinner that ever lived. Christ Jesus died for our sins. And on the third day He rose again from the dead. So in Romans 10:13, the Bible tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And don't miss it, Rahab was one of those whosoevers. She was one of those wicked sinners like you and I who needed to be saved. You see, by faith, Rahab. Not just Rahab, the harlot, Rahab. Believe in the Lord for salvation. Let me ask you very simply this morning. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? Has there been a time in your life when you repented of your sins and you realized that you deserve the judgment and wrath of God? Friends, judgment is coming. We don't need to look very hard around us this morning to see that God's judgment is coming upon this world. But the Bible very clearly tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The judgment is coming for every person who ever lived. Where will you stand on that judgment day? Would you be sure? And are you sure today that your sins are forgiven? Has there been a time in your life that you repented of your sins and you trusted in Jesus Christ alone to save you once and for all, and He made you a child of God? Has there been a time in your life when you changed once and for all, forever? You see, that's the amazing grace of God, is it not? That He could take a wretched, defiled, wicked, filthy sinner like you and I and could clean us up by the blood of the Lamb, could wash our sins away forever, He would put our sins behind His back and remember them no more forever because of His amazing grace. But you see, Rahab made a choice as a sinner to repent and believe in the fear of God and to receive the Lord as her Savior. Have you done the same? Friend, if you're not sure, if you're wondering whether you will experience the judgment of God, if you're wondering whether you will wake up after you breathe your last breath in a place called the lake of fire, friends, it'll be too late to make up your mind then. It'll be too late to repent. It'll be too late to turn back. You see, Rahab knew that she had to make up her mind what to do about God before the armies arrived, before the judgment came. You see, if she waited too long, it would be too late. So she made a choice. She turned to the Lord. And God gave the city 40 years. Rahab had time. But we don't know when our time is up. Let me encourage you to turn to Christ today to save you. Nothing else and no one else can save us. No signs, no miracles, no baptism, no church membership, no good works. The Bible says, in fact, of Rahab in James chapter 2, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works. When she had received the messengers and had sent them out of the way, what does that mean? Rahab showed the reality of her faith by works. Yes, her works justified her faith because she had real and living faith. She was not doing good things to get to heaven. No, she was justified by her works because her works demonstrated the saving faith she had in God. She was not earning her way to heaven. She had already put her faith in the Lord before those spies arrived. Would you agree? You see, she didn't accept them in order to get to heaven. She was already a child of God. She was already heaven bound. She was already a believer. But the question is, are you a believer this morning? Friends, there is no sin too great that God cannot forgive. How do we know that? Because the Bible says, by faith, the harlot, Rahab. Would you turn to Jesus Christ this morning? Friends, if you come to Him this morning, if you cast your cares upon Him, He will not cast you out. He is willing to save. Thank God for His precious salvation. Now that's Rahab's salvation. Rahab, by faith, turned to the Lord. Verse 31, back in Hebrews chapter 11, notice what the Bible says. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Now, in verse 31, we learn something about Rahab's faith, but we also learn something about the faith of those in the city. What do we learn in verse 31? You can speak to me this morning. Rahab believed, but the rest of the city did what? They believed not. They believed not. What does that mean? Well, according to the verses we already looked at, would you agree that the entire city knew that God's judgment was coming? Yes or no? Yes, they did. Do you agree that they also had the opportunity to believe? Yes or no? Yes, they did. But they believed not. They chose not to repent. They chose perhaps even to forget that judgment is coming. Many people in this world choose to ignore that God exists, choose to ignore that God is a holy God, choose to ignore that God must punish sin, and choose to ignore that there is a wonderful way of salvation. I trust that you are not one of them this morning. Rahab made a choice. We see that in her salvation. But notice with me Rahab's stand. For isn't it true that if the rest of the city believed not, Rahab was alone in her faith? We see Rahab stand. That's our next point. Rahab stood alone in a city of unbelief, in a city of great wickedness. Yes, she too was a sinner, but she was a sinner saved by grace with a brand new faith in the living God. And suddenly, she was alone. No wonder she was so excited when two other believers joined her in her home. Amen. Can you imagine the fellowship they enjoyed? Can you imagine the rejoicing in the living God and what He had done? Imagine the conversation that took place. But Rahab was alone. What do we see in the harlot Rahab's life? Well, we see a courageous faith. A faith to stand alone. You see, when the king ordered that the two visitors that had come into Rahab's house be delivered to him, Rahab hid the spies. She didn't want them to be found. What did she do? Well, would you agree with me? She risked her very life to hide the brethren. She risked her very life for the faith. She was willing to die to protect the brethren. And she stood alone in a city who had rejected God. You see, not only do we see Rahab's salvation, but we see Rahab's stand. She had faith to stand alone. And look, she was a new believer. Let's put ourselves in her shoes. Imagine you being saved by yourself, alone. And you are alone. No one else around you. Can you see the preciousness of her faith this morning? Can you see how she was willing to stand? Friends, that is true biblical faith. The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. Not only are we saved by putting our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, but we are to live by faith. We are to trust in God in everything else, in every other area of our life. And Rahab was willing to do that. And that's what true biblical faith is. When you and I have faith to stand alone. Now let me say this, it's easy to be a Christian in church this morning, isn't it? Absolutely. I trust it wasn't difficult to come in. I trust that you were welcomed and you were encouraged and people said hello and you felt accepted and people are a blessing here in this church. It's not a difficult thing to be a Christian on Sunday. It's not a difficult thing to be a Christian at home when other family members around us believe the same as we do. They're saved. They believe in the Lord. It's not a difficult thing, that difficult, to be a Christian at home. But what about when you and I are alone? Where is our faith? What is our faith like? What about when you and I are alone in the workplace? And we're surrounded by people who know not the Lord. Not only do they know not the Lord, but they believe not. They reject the Lord. What does our faith become? What about in the world when we go out shopping, when we're out among the world and we know that people are not believers because we can see how they live and we can see the idolatry, we can see the immorality around us. How do you and I choose to live? Are we prepared to stand alone like Rahab of old? You see, this woman was a woman of faith. That's why God put her in to Hebrews chapter 11. She was a woman of faith that was prepared to stand alone. How do we live when we're alone? I'm afraid that many of us as Christians cast away our faith when we're in the world alone. I'm afraid many of us as Christians get pulled into the world and become more like the world than we are, than we should be standing alone for Jesus Christ and shining the light of the gospel. Isn't that true? Why? What's the issue? Ultimately, it's our faith. It's our faith. We're not willing to stand alone by faith. You see, Rahab knew her life was at risk. Rahab knew that there would be a cost, but she simply believed that God is greater than her fears, and she trusted in the living God, and she knew if she did the right thing, God would take care of the rest. Amen. But that takes faith. It takes faith to be rejected by your workmates. I know. When I was saved and I was working full time, I began to go around to every department in my workplace and tell them about what God had did for me, how God had saved me. And guess what I found? Well, perhaps the same thing you have. Not interested. That's good for you. I'm not interested for... I don't want it for me. And suddenly I felt alone. Now that was just the start. But I had to make a choice. How will I live now as a Christian? Will I hide my faith? Will I hide it under a bushel, if you will? Will I step back and not live by faith in the workplace? Well, you see, God wants us to stand, not proudly, not boastfully, but in humility and in boldness of what the Lord has done for us in our lives. See, faith is evident in our lives when we're prepared to stand alone. When we're willing to trust God that, yes, though we may be rejected, and though, yes, those in our workplace and in the team that we work with, we work so closely with on projects and on specific contracts, if we tell them the gospel, they might not want to work with us, and maybe the boss will find out, maybe I'll lose my job. But what is that? That's our fear. That is our fear. That's not faith. And God says, trust in me. Though they may reject you, I will take care of your work. An amazing thing happened. You know, once I got saved, I started to grow as a Christian. And I tell you what, you know, God was dealing with me in my life. He still is. But God helped me to be a better employee. I was convicted about turning up late to work. So I turned up on time and I got more work done. I got it done faster. I didn't go to work on the weekend, so I didn't waste my time at work. And suddenly, though those around me didn't want the gospel, the boss saw a change in my life. I did not get fired. In fact, when I went off to Bible college, they were begging me to come back and work there on the holidays. I was amazed. Now, that's God, not me. God did the miracle. But he was saying to me in that place, yes, you can hide your faith. But if you do, no one's going to hear. But if you step out by faith, they will hear. They may not like you, but trust me, I will do a work in their lives. And that's what it means to live by faith, brethren. And we need to choose to do that every day of our lives. Since that time in my life, I found out leaving the workplace, God put me in different other places where I didn't want to be a witness. And God's still working in my life about being a witness. We need to choose every day to stand alone for Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to choose every day to stand by faith, believing, though we may experience the hatred, the rejection, the persecution, and maybe one day Christians will be put to death in this land, God is still going to do a miraculous work if we choose to stand alone by faith. See, Rahab wasn't a woman who hid her faith. Turn with me to Joshua chapter number 2. As we continue to look at Rahab's stand, she wasn't a woman who hid her faith. We know she hid the spies, that's one thing. But she did not hide her faith. Notice verses 12 to 13 in Joshua chapter 2. Notice what she says to these spies. Verses 12 and 13. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. What was that token she desired? Verse 13. And that you will save alive my father and mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. You see, Rahab knew that she was safe. Rahab knew that she'd be delivered from the judgment of God. But now, who is she concerned for? She's concerned about her family, isn't she? She wants her family to experience the same deliverance that she has. She wants her family to be taken care of, and her heart is now moved to reach her family for the Lord. That's the heart of Rahab. You see, she wasn't a woman who got saved and hid in a corner and thought to herself, everyone has rejected the Lord, I'm just going to hide out here till the nation of Israel comes. No, she had a heart for her family. Can you imagine what risk she took in telling her family of the plan of their protection? Can you imagine the risk that she was taking? What if her older brother, if she had one, who was an idol worshipper like the rest, who perhaps looked at Rahab and said, Rahab, we know what you are like. We know the sins in your life as a harlot. Why do you expect us to believe in God? You're a hypocrite. And what if they turned her over to the king? What if they turned against her? What about when families turn against us? What about when you and I become a Christian and we fear witnessing to them? What do we do? Well, they might reject me. Maybe they have rejected you. But what does God desire us to do? He desires us simply to be like Rahab and to stand alone by faith. You see, Rahab took a risk, didn't she? She told her family the plan. She had a heart for their salvation. Rahab is a wonderful picture of someone who comes to faith in Christ and lives by faith. Because one of the greatest desires that you and I ought to have when we come to Jesus Christ as our Savior is a heart for our family, is a heart for their salvation. Friends, if you do not have a care about where your loved ones are going when they die, let me assure you, you yourself have never been saved. Because the moment you are born again, God gives you new desires. You are a new creature and you desire to reach out to them. You call yourself a Christian and you've never witnessed to a loved one before, I very much doubt the reality of your salvation. Why? Because if you know what you've been saved from, you also will have that desire for your family. You may not feel like you have the boldness to tell them. You may not feel like you have the courage. And yes, God can work on that area of your life, but the only way He can work on that is if you choose to stand alone by faith. You see, Rahab made a choice to stand alone. Can the same be said of us? In our families' lives, in our workplaces, are we willing to stand alone in order to win them to Jesus Christ? You see, becoming like them won't help them to the Saviour. But that is what we usually do. We think to ourselves, well, if I'm too committed as a Christian, that's just going to push them away. No, the Lord says, you are the light of the world. I want you to shine even brighter than before. I want you to shine bright now. I want you to run the race that is set before you. Don't walk, run. I want you to grow. I want you to show others around you the reality of your faith. You might say, well, if I'm so different from they are, then they will reject me. Let me assure you, those who have rejected you, and as hurtful as it is, we believe by faith, do we not, that God is at work in their hearts. He's at work in much greater ways than you can imagine, and very much greater ways than if you said nothing at all, and if you lived just like they did. You see, the just truly shall live by faith. Faith to stand alone. Faith to stand in the midst of others who are not believing. That's Rahab's stand. And as a sinner saved by grace, with family and friends that I desire to be saved, I understand what it feels like to be rejected. You understand what it's like to be rejected. But we also understand what it's like to fear what our family will think. Rahab cast away her fears. How? By faith. By faith in God, that He will do the miraculous. She just needed to stand for Him in that wicked day. And may God give us the grace to stand today for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. May God give us the grace today to go door knocking. Though we may feel alone in a city that seems to be in unbelief, may we by faith walk out to the door. May we by faith share the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we by faith tell others that we too are just like Rahab, the harlot, that have been saved from our wretched sins. And what an amazing, wonderful Saviour we have. May we step out by faith each day to stand alone and simply trust that God will do His work if we stand for Him. Rahab, we see her salvation. We see her stand. And lastly, let us conclude with her story. In verse 31 in Hebrews chapter 11, notice what the Bible says. By faith the harlot Rahab, what's the next word? Perish not. Well, what does that mean? That wasn't the end of Rahab's life, was it? In fact, if we understand what we've learned this morning, this was just the beginning of Rahab's life. She was a new creature. Old things had passed far away, my friends. The old sins of the past were gone. Rahab was brand new, and now her life was just beginning. She perished not with them that believe not. She was delivered from Jericho. Rahab's story is the third truth that we are encouraged with this morning. What happened to Rahab? What happened? Where did she go from there? Well, in Matthew chapter number 1, we see a beautiful picture of Rahab's story, do we not? Some of you know the story. If you don't, or if you do, let's turn there together as we close. Matthew chapter number 1. You see, salvation is just the beginning. God has great things in store for the believer who lives by faith. Matthew chapter number 1. Here we find a beautiful mention of Rahab. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 1. Verse number 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Now, the word is slightly different here in the New Testament, but it is the name of Rahab of the Old Testament. You see, Rahab perished not. She went on to live a new life. The one who was a harlot, the one who was a wicked woman, the one who was perverse and immoral and defiled in her sins, was saved by the living God, was cleansed by the grace of God, and she went on to live a new life of faith in the wonderful, amazing grace of God. The Bible tells us that she married Salmon, here in verse number 5. Salmon was a prince of Judah. God blessed this woman. She who had defiled herself with the men of the world as a new creature in the Lord, suddenly she experienced the wonderful blessings of God. Friends, if you think that God cannot save a sinner and clean them up and give them a brand new life, just look at the life of Rahab. Amen. Friends, she married. Not only did God bless her with a husband, a godly husband, but God blessed her with children. In fact, the Bible tells us, notice in verse number 5, as you read down through the generations of her lineage, the Bible tells us that she became the grandmother of David, King David, the beloved king of Israel. And we know and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ came from the line of David, did he not? What do we learn about the life of Rahab? Brethren, God blessed her so much that he put her directly in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah to come. What an amazing story of the life of Rahab. As we look at her life this morning, we can say very clearly that Rahab was taken from the house of shame to the house of fame. Amen. God lifted her up. God honored her. God blessed her. Why? Not because of anything she did, but because of His amazing grace. And friend, God can do the very same thing for you. You may believe that He cannot, but yes, He can. That's how amazing His grace is. That's how amazing His love is, that He can take us from the kingdom of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of light. He can take us as a reprobate, as a God rejecter, and transform us into a new creature in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the life of Rahab. That's the life of every believer. My friend, God took a woman that He called a harlot, and He lifts her up this morning as an example of one who believed, one who lived by faith. God is able to do the same in your life by His grace. Rahab's salvation. Are you saved here this morning? Has the Lord done such a work in your life that you repented of your sins once and for all? And you trusted in Christ alone, and you were forgiven for your past, present, and future sins forever by faith in Jesus Christ. My friends, Rahab could not do a thing to earn her salvation. Why? Because she was a harlot. She was a harlot. She was defiled, as we all are, as sinners. Would you come to Christ today? Would you experience His love in salvation? I trust that you will. Rahab's example tells us that God specializes in taking wicked, old, filthy sinners and saving them and transforming them into a beautiful new creature to live for Him. Rahab's salvation. Secondly, Rahab's stand. If you're a Christian this morning, let me ask you, are you living by faith? Are you willing to stand alone this week? Maybe God has rebuked you and chastened you through His Word to remind you that you're not living by faith. You're living by fear. You're living by worry. What will happen to my job? What will happen to my family? What will happen to my friends? Friends, we need to live by faith. By faith alone. Trust God with your work. Trust God. Amen. If the boss wants you to work on Sunday, trust God. Amen. He may not give me any more work. God will provide another job. But by faith you need to stand. By faith you need to say humbly and respectfully, as each one of us as adults, I'm sure, has had to do, I'm sorry, I'm not able to work on Sunday. I go to church on Sunday. We ought not to be proud about it, for we are only sinners like Rahab, saved by grace. But we need to be willing to stand by faith. That's just one example that the Lord brought to mind. But standing by faith. That's how we live. The just shall live by faith. Let's not be backward in our faith, amen? God wants to use us. God wants us to stand by faith so we can reach the lost, so we can reach those around us. But we must do so by faith. Christian, do you need to get some things right with God today? And lastly, Rahab's story. In her story, do you not see your story? In God making you a part of His dear family. Friends, we are not just saved. We are children of the living God. Amen. He is our heavenly Father. What a story we have to tell the nations of God's amazing grace. Isn't that a story worth telling? What He's done in our lives. Let's tell someone this week as we stand by faith.